2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 9. Ahaziah the king has fallen through a window. He wants to know if he's going to get better. So he sent messengers to Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, that the god of Ekron, Baal-zebub, might be able to answer his request. God has moved Elijah to intervene, and Elijah has confronted Ahaziah. He sent messengers to him and told him that he will die. He will not get up from this bed. He challenges him over the consultation of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. Is it because there is no god in Israel that you've gone to Baal-zebub? Ahaziah has been interested to know who the man was. It seems he couldn't care less about the message that he received. Tell me, who was this man? What was he like? And when he's described as wearing a garment of hair and a leather belt, he says, "Ah, I know who he is. He was a thorn in my father's side. I know who he is. This is Elijah the Tishbite." And now we come to verse 9, the king's response. Then he, that is Ahaziah, sent to Elijah a captain with his company of 50 men. He sent a captain of the army. The captain went up to Elijah, who was sitting on the top of a hill, and said to him, "Man of God, the king says, come down." 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9. Now, of course, I wasn't there, so I don't know the tone of the voice when Ahaziah spoke to the captain, or when the captain spoke to Elijah. I can only deduce things from what is said and what is not said. And the deductions all point in one direction. Let me ask some questions. Ahaziah has been told that he has sinned because he has gone to Baal-zebub. This man is an Israelite. He belongs to the covenant people. He has the law of God, and he knows that law. He's been given that law. He's gone outside the covenant. He's broken the commandments of God. He's gone to Baal-zebub. He's gone to the idolatrous people. He's turned aside from the true God. And he's been told he's going to die. Now, what is the king's response? Is he preparing to die? I see no evidence of it. Is he turning from his sin? I see no evidence whatsoever. Is he repentant? I don't see the least token of it. Does he believe the word? Well, he may fear the word, but does he believe that he has sinned and turned back to God and come to the true God, Jehovah, the Lord Almighty? Is he humble? I don't see any evidence whatsoever. As I've said, he's interested in peripherals. Who is this man? Tell me what he's wearing. Let me know what he's like. And when he sends for Elijah, how does he send for him? Well, he doesn't send a man, a messenger, saying, "Please come and help the king." He sends a soldier. Why a soldier? And why 50 men? Well, the evidence is all in, as far as I'm concerned. Ahaziah is showing his defiance. He's sending a soldier with 50 men to arrest Elijah because he wants to bully him, browbeat him, get him here, put him on the spot. Now, I don't know how the captain addressed Elijah. "Man of God, the king says, come down." But I don't think it was a begging tone. I think the man of God, I think that is sarcasm. "Man of God, come down. The king demands it. Come here with me," you see. I see defiance. I see rebellion. He's not asking Elijah to come and preach to the king and counsel the king and advise the king. The king doesn't want that. Look at the evidence we have of the defiance of men against the prophets. Look at Psalm 2, the nation's rage. "We won't have this man to reign over us," they say to Christ. "They won't have the prophets to speak to them." Psalm 2, the defiance. That comes out in Acts 4, when the apostles are being browbeaten by the bully boys of the Jews, the powers that be. You've got to shut up. You mustn't speak in the name of Christ. Stop preaching this gospel. And they go home and they pray to God, Lord, they're defying you. They're defying us. They're stopping us. Give us power. Give us your spirit. Give us boldness to preach your word. Yeah, there's a rebellion here. There's a defiance here. Listen to Stephen, Acts chapter 7, verses 51 to 53. You stiff-necked people, you, like your fathers, always resist the Holy Ghost. Look at the prophets, you stone them all. Jesus said about it time and again. You build mausoleums to the prophets, but then you've stoned them. You put them to death. Matthew 23, verse 37. You've stoned them, you've killed them. Matthew 21, 33 to 46, the parable of the tenants. They browbeat, they bully, they stone, they kill the messengers of God, and they kill the Son of God too. John 15, verse 20, they hate me. They hate my message, and they'll hate you. This is the natural man, this is the natural heart. Or Romans 8, the natural man hates the things of God. He will not be subject to the law of God. He will not listen to the gospel. 1 Corinthians 2, the end of the chapter, is foolishness to him. He thinks it's laughable. 1 Corinthians 1, it's scandalous. It's a nonsense. This is the natural heart, my friend. This is what the natural heart is like. And you, and I too, we are born like this, defiant of God. We hear the message, prepare to meet your God, and what do men do? They laugh at it, they deride it, they mock it, they turn aside, they're not neutral, they hate it. Let's call a spade here. This is what the gospel has to deal with. This is what I'm like by nature. This is what you're like by nature, my friend. Only God can change us. This is why Christ said you must be born again. You must have a new heart, a new mind, a new will. This is the glory of the gospel. This is the glory of the new covenant. Ezekiel prophesies of it. Jesus says the necessity of it. God gives us a new mind, a new heart. The natural man will not repent. The natural man will not prepare to meet his God. The natural man will go against God. You will. Only God can change you. You must be born again. You can titivate a natural man as much as you like, but he's still a natural man. You can give him all the religion you like. Apply all the rites and customs and ceremonies you like. Take him to church, do what you want with him. Give him a Bible, pray with him and all the rest of it. But until God changes his heart, he will still resist and defy the Holy Spirit and rebel against God. The wonder is, the mercy is, that any of us are converted. Blessed be God if he's changed our ways, if he's given us a new heart, if he's given us a new mind, if he's given us a submissive spirit. Be warned by Ahaziah, be warned by Ahab. Praise God for the prophet Elijah. May we stand firm, whatever the cost. You see here, the enemies of the Kairos, the enemies of the gospel, the enemies of Christ are like this today, defiant against God. The wonder is here. Not the judgment of God which will come, is the mercy of God which is also evident here. But that's the next discourse. Here we see Ahaziah's attitude. Let us learn from it and be warned about it. Prepare to meet your God, my friend. Now don't deride that. Don't mock it. Don't despise it. Turn now. Repent. Believe. Trust Christ. Unless you do, you will perish. And perish forever. Oh, may God bless this solemn word. This is what we're dealing with. This is what we were, brother and sister, by nature. Blessed be God that he ever changed us. May we learn from this passage. May we understand what we're dealing with.